In our second session, we're going to begin by taking up some of the principles that we've already noted in our run-through of Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. I want to go back through the translation that we have here and then note some documentation of a few things. Colossians 2:13, "When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions." The word there for forgiveness is charizomai and makes reference to the forgiveness of pre-salvation sins at the moment of salvation. And the manner by which this was accomplished, having canceled out the certificate of debt, that is chirographon, dependent upon the ending. And this is an obligation owed to God. Our plus R is incapable of being accomplished on our own. We have it because it's imputed to us at salvation. We owe it and we can't pay. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us which were hostile to us. That's prom chip printout. He has once and for all taken it, the certificate of debt, out of the way. And that means permanent cancellation of the debt. And He did this by nailing it to the cross. That's the imputation of our sins to Christ and their judgment. Now, regarding the phrase certificate of debt, we learn the following from the Greek word chirographon. And again, spelled, that is C-H-E-R-I-O-G-R-A-P-H-O-N, chirographon. And that particular word, well, what do you call that when you get things backwards? There's a word for that, dyslexia. And my I and my R got swapped there. There's your word, chirographon. I want to quote from the Theological Lexicon of the New Testament, Volume 3, edited by James D. Ernst. This is pages 508 through 510. He's discussing this particular word here. And there's a little bit of eisegogics in here as well as etymology. It says, according to Colossians 2:14, Christ has erased the official record of our debt. Etymologically, chirographon, meaning handwriting, is a word used in classical Greek. It means an autograph or a written declaration, a signature, as in the world of business and commerce. For example, a letter of credit. The writing and the signature validate the commitment and guarantee its authenticity. In the papyri, where it is much used, chirographon is a technical term meaning acknowledgement of debt, that is, the receipt signed by the debtor who acknowledges that he owes a certain sum and undertakes to repay it. Possession of the written acknowledgement of the debt gave the right to recover it. Once the invoice was paid or the note was honored, it was canceled with two crosswise strokes, giving the image of an X or a chi in the Greek. According to Paul, humans are in debt to God because of their sins and they are insolvent. Christ came to lift this mortgage, and through His blood He paid for them, annulling their debt. Your debt, your certificate of debt, was taken by God and imputed to Christ. And the imagery is that it was nailed to the cross. And Christ put the X on it. He paid our debt, and we no longer owe God anything. In fact, God imputed to us His perfect righteousness when we believed in the work of Christ on the cross. We believe He paid our debt, which He did. When we believe it, then our account is wiped clean. Sin has been removed. All pre-salvation sins are forgiven. And we are imputed God's perfect righteousness. And so faith alone in Christ alone is our acknowledgement of the debt paid by the work of Christ on the cross. The resultant baptism of the Holy Spirit transforms us into a new spiritual species that differentiates us from the rest of the human race. And this is very important for anyone who has been through any form of sexual misconduct, involved in more than one marriage, involved in divorces and remarriage, this kind of thing. It is inevitable that when these things occur, there's baggage that goes along with it. But the believer in Jesus Christ has problem-solving devices that manage any sin, any cluster of sin, any amount of wrongdoing, misguided decision-making. All of this is dealt with through the grace of God. There is no reason for a guilt complex to be a problem. There's no reason for there to be remorse or second thoughts. All of us make mistakes. We have to realize where we are. We have to orient and adjust to that biblically. If there is a problem of sin and wrongdoing, then there has to be an adjustment through either faith alone in Christ alone or through rebound. And once that is done, God forgives, God forgets, the marriage is purified, and you move on, not looking back, but setting your eyes on the goal ahead of you. Therefore, there is never a reason to live in the past, only motivation to progress into the future through your inculcation of Bible doctrine. And the thing that amplifies for the person who did all of these things in the status quo unbelief is that when you believed in Christ, not only were your sins forgiven, but you were transformed into an entirely new species. You're a different person now than you were when you did all of these things that shock you. Completely different. And the verse we're now about to note is going to document that. It is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Now, this verse starts out with an if clause, and it is the condition first class. If any man is in Christ, what does in Christ mean? That is such an important term. You run across that throughout Scripture. And every time you see it, I once pulled a count on that thing and I've forgotten it, but it's in the hundreds. Top circle. When you read in Christ, it is speaking of two things that are pertinent. Quite a number of things, but two things I need to point out right now. Number one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And reference to current positional truth. That's what in Christ means. And when you see that, it means that you have been taken by the Holy Spirit and you have been baptized into union with Christ. That involves not only union with Christ, but it establishes your eternal security. You are in Christ. Christ has resurrection body. He is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. He is in heaven, and we are positionally in Him. That's where we go when our soul is separated from our body. You get that in your mind. You will never fear death when you understand that. When you die, the moment of your death, your soul and your human spirit as a believer are absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. You are presently, positionally in Christ. And where is He? He is in heaven in resurrection body. And that is a very powerful concept in this sense, that wherever Christ is, you are. What Christ possesses, you possess. Therefore, this removes fear from your life. If any man is in Christ. Now, the if clause there is first class condition, and it requires a positive response. If, and it is true. If any man is in Christ. Anyone who has been baptized by the Holy Spirit, anyone who has positional sanctification, anyone who is in the top circle, he is a new creature. And the words here are kaios krisis. That's K-A-I-N-O-S, K-R-I-S-I-S. Kainos Krisis, a new spiritual species, is the corrected translation. If any man is in Christ, if any man has been baptized by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, and if you have believed, this is true for you, he is a new creature, kainos krisis, a new spiritual species. And then it goes on to say, the old things, that's archaios. A-R-C-H-A-I-O-S, archaios. The old things, that which existed from the beginning. It makes reference to the sinful nature and your spiritual death. These old things have passed away. It goes on to end by saying, behold, they have become new. Now, what has passed away? Many people will read this verse and begin to think through what the old things are. You know, I used to be a rogue. I used to be a rake. I used to drink and cuss and do the hoochie coo. I used to parade about and do this, that, and the other thing. I was a real rounder. I did all of these things, but those are old things and they've passed away. Oh, no. Oh, no, dear friends. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are converted into a new spiritual species. You're discussing things that are typical of the body. And the body is going to continue to influence you until the day you die. And the only way you will have power over your body and your behavior patterns and your character traits and your lifestyle is for you to get into the Word of God and let the power of the Holy Spirit, as He inculcates divine truth into your soul, be your defense against these things. You can change the way you think. You can change what you do. You can change your behavior patterns and character traits. But that takes a long time as you inculcate Bible doctrine, and you need the power of the Holy Spirit to put these things to rest. And doctrine is what makes the difference. The Holy Spirit only uses doctrine. And He will guide you if you're positive to overcoming your problems, your behavior patterns, and what have you. But because you've accepted Christ as Savior does not mean that instantly all of these things are going to be put to rest. There are decisions that have to be made. I am telling you, when you believe in Christ, spiritually, you are an entirely new and different species. You're different than the person you were before. You have attributes, assets, characteristics that did not exist before. It's as if you have been converted into an entirely different person, spiritually speaking. And we're going to document that. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new spiritual species. The old things, they are kaios. And it's important to see this word because it could have said old things in another fashion, having to do with the idea of something that's just simply old recently. This yesterday's paper is old, today's paper is new. Now, this goes back into ancient history, this word does. It's that which existed, in fact, from the very beginning, according to Art and Gingrich. And therefore, it makes reference to our problem that has existed from ancient times. It is the sinful nature and our spiritual death. Those things have passed away. And that is documented by Romans 6, verse 6, and refers to retroactive positional truth. And we had that up on the board in the first session, if I can recover it here. What are the old things? Retroactive positional truth identifies the sinful nature with the spiritual death on the cross, where the rulership authority of the sinful nature is terminated. The old things have passed away. The sinful nature and spiritual death that goes with it. At physical death, the body with its sinful nature is identified with Christ in His burial. So right here, you're identified with Christ in His burial. Current positional truth identifies the soul with the resurrection, ascension, and session of Christ. Your soul is identified with the resurrected Christ. Your body is identified with Christ in His death. You've been separated from what is old. Old is dead to you. Retroactive positional truth, therefore, constitutes the death of the first husband, namely the sinful nature, which remains with the body. And when you die physical death, your soul, which is identified with Christ, goes to be with Christ. Your body, which is identified with the grave, goes back to the earth. And what goes with it? Your old sin nature. But when was the power of that sinful nature broken? At physical death? No. It was broken at the moment of salvation through retroactive positional truth. And all of this is taught in Romans 6, verse 6, as well as that entire context. And we've studied that in a great bit of detail. The old things have passed away. Behold, they have become new. And now we have kainos. That's that same word again. K-A-I-N-O-S. Kainos. This is everything becoming new at the moment of salvation. And that is top circle assets. That is where you're identified with a resurrected Christ. So we have a new spiritual species now that has been created for us in this verse, and we're the beneficiaries of this. And if you have accepted Christ as Savior, then you are different than you were when you were an unbeliever. You're a new person now, spiritually speaking, and we want to document that. Point one, Colossians 2:13 reveals that God has forgiven, charizomai, forgiven us all our transgressions, and that makes reference to pre-salvation sins. So when you believe in Christ, charizomai becomes effective for you regarding all the sins you committed prior to that moment. And you enter the Christian way of life filled with the Holy Spirit with the imputation of God's perfect righteousness, and for a few precious moments, you are purified. You remember those days. Number two, 2 Corinthians 5:17 reveals that after having done so, we're transformed into a new creature, I believe is the way your Bibles translate that. You're a new creature. Three, the transformation is made possible by the baptism of the Holy Spirit that places us into union with Christ. See, we saw that back in the other verse. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with Him. There is your positional sanctification right there. How did He do this? Having forgiven us our pre-salvation sins, having canceled our certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us which were hostile, He has once and for all taken this certificate of debt out of the way, permanent cancellation of the debt, and He nailed it to the cross. So we see baptism of the Holy Spirit in that passage. We see it kicking off this verse. If any man is in Christ, baptism of the Holy Spirit, he is a new creature. And so the transformation is made possible by the baptism of the Holy Spirit that places us into union with Christ, and this is illustrated by the top circle. It is indicated in Scripture by the prepositional phrase, in Christo. And I'll put this on the board because, again, this is a very important prepositional phrase. E-N-C-H-R-I-S-T-O-I. It has an iota subscript here, but it's the iota subscript is really not pronounced, but in order to show it there, that it's there, you pronounce it in Christoi, but it's really in Christo. And that translated means in Christ. And every time you run across that, it's referencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit and current positional truth. And it's all over the place. And that is the catalyst for making you a new spiritual species. And if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Have you believed in Christ? Then you're a new creature, a new spiritual species. Four, this is also referred to as positional sanctification. current positional truth and ensures eternal security. You cannot get out of the top circle because you're in Christ. Christ has eternal life. You share with Christ those things that He possesses in His resurrection. And therefore, that means that you have eternal life. And there that sits right there, documented for you in 1 John 5, verses 11 through 12. If you're in Christ, you have eternal life. What else does Christ share with you in the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He has perfect righteousness. Well, you do too. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He has made Him who knew no sin to be made sin as a substitute for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. See, there the preposition is used. Rather than in Christ, it says in Him. But the preposition refers to Christ. So what do we have here? Baptism of the Holy Spirit, top circle. Made the righteousness of God by what? By being in Christ. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we have His righteousness. We have His eternal life. We have His sonship. That puts us in the royal family of God. Galatians 3:26 tells us that we are the children of God. And if God runs this entire universe, let's just use some figurative language here. That means God is the king of the universe. That means Christ is the king of the universe. That means they're the royal family. And we are children of the Father. That makes us royalty. And we share Christ's sonship, the relationship Christ has with the Father and His true humanity. And there you see it in 1 John, or rather the Gospel of John 1:12, and as I mentioned, Galatians 3:26. Heirship, those who are in royal families inherit stuff. And you inherit phenomenal things just through faith alone in Christ alone. And there are overpluses like the escrow. And the heirship is mentioned in Romans 8 and 1 Peter 1. Royalty, we've just covered. If you're a son, then you're royalty. You are a royal priest. You're your own private priest. Christ is the high priest. We're members of His royal priesthood. Therefore, we represent ourselves before God. And therefore, if we sin, to whom do we confess the sin? We confess the sin to the Father in the name of the Son. And in the middle, we confess our sins. That's our royal priesthood. We are elected to privilege. We are elected with great assets that are designed to serve God through the rest of our life here on this earth. We have an eternal destiny with which we are very familiar, and that destiny includes eternal life with a resurrection body. And sanctification is the idea of being set apart for special service. Now, Christ possesses all of these things, and being in union with Him means we share each and every one of them. And there are the documentary passages for all of those. Now, again, point five to review. The baptism of the Holy Spirit results then in a new creature, indicated by the words kainos plus krisis, and it's best translated a new spiritual species. Your genetics are not changed, but your spiritual status quo is altered dramatically. Point six. Notice what comes first in the verse. In Christo, in Christ. There must be the baptism of the Holy Spirit first before you become a new creature. If any man is in Christ, then he is a new creature. Not before. We get the order. Faith alone in Christ alone. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, new spiritual species. Notice then what comes first is in Christ. The only sense that we are considered a new creature is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit that places us into union with the resurrected Christ. And when you're in the top circle, you're in union with Christ and His resurrection body, and He is presently seated at the right hand of the Father. Positionally, that's where you are. The moment you die, that's where you will be. In the interim, you are an ambassador for Christ, and you're to execute God's plan for your life while your life remains functional on this earth. You are Christ's ambassador in the interim. But you are now a citizen of heaven, and you share all of the attributes of being a citizen of the heavenly community. And so the only sense that we're considered a new creature is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit that places us into union with the resurrected Christ. 7. The word new in the Greek is the adjective kainos, Noted it for you a moment ago. K-A-I-N-O-S. It's the word new. And we want to take a look at that. So this is what identifies the kind of species we are, the new one. And this takes us to several sources in order to define this. First of all, a very famous set of books entitled The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. This particular volume is edited by Gerhard Kittel. He's German. The best work in translating Greek, the Greek New Testament, is done by the Germans. I don't know what it is with these people, but they're able to go into the original languages of the Scripture, primarily the Greek, and they're able to pull out the meaning of these words and get them up into the German. And then when you get a good English translation of what these German etymologists and lexicographers have done, you have a phenomenal resource to go back and learn what these words have to do with. And that this is going back to the first century and finding out how they were used. And here we have the word kainos, and Gerhard Kittel has done the work on this one in volume 3. Of the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, beginning on 447. I've just got three short paragraphs here, but you need to hear this. It's under the entry kainos. Kainos is what is new and distinctive as compared with other things. Well, what's it being compared with here? Pre-salvation. Your pre-salvation life. Now, think back. What were your characteristics, spiritually speaking, prior to salvation? Now it's beginning to focus for you. Remember what a low life you were then. I mean, completely low life. Total slug slime. There's been some improvement, sure, on your behavior patterns and character traits. But instantly, at the moment of salvation, you acquired certain characteristics that define you completely differently than what you were before, spiritually speaking. Therefore, it is a distinctive difference now. Kainos means new in nature and different from the usual. Now you've become unusual. It can be a very impressive change, according to Kittel. It is better than the old. This new characteristic is better than the old characteristic. It is superior in value, superior as far as its attraction. Those who are the new spiritual species are superior in value and attraction to those who are not. Kainos, then, is the epitome of the wholly different and miraculous thing which is brought about at the moment of salvation. Hence, new is a leading teleological term in the apocalyptic promise. So some examples of how kainos is used in the New Testament regarding the future things are mentioned. For example, kainos is used in the term a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation 21, verse 1. Entirely different, superior to the old, new in nature and distinctive from what went before. The new heavens and new earth are going to put this earth and its heavens to absolute shame, absolute total perfection. And the difference between the new heavens and the new earth and what we know today as the heavens and the earth, the marked contrast between the two, is the same contrast that exists between the new spiritual species and your old self. It's phenomenal difference. Therefore, another illustration is the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21, 2. The New Jerusalem is a celestial city, 1,500 miles cubed, and it rotates around the earth as a satellite. That's Revelation chapter 21. And you talk about a fancy damn place. You got no EPA there. No OSHA there. We're talking a city that functions on absolute total perfection designed by God. And it's called the New Jerusalem. As opposed to the old. Think of present day Jerusalem. I mean, you want to get shot at? Go visit where Jesus walked. They'll shoot at you while you're there. In contrast to the old, the New Jerusalem is distinctive, superior, better than the old. There's a new name written in Revelation 2:17. That has to do with your escrow blessings in eternity. You will have a new name written You're going to be given a special name, and it's better than the old, like Fred or Alice. New creation, then, is the glorious end of the revelation of God's salvation. Thus, kainos becomes a slogan of the reality of salvation, which we know already in Christ. And then there's the word newness, that is kainotes, used in the New Testament by Paul. In accordance with the use of kainos, it denotes the fullness of the reality of salvation which Christ has given to Christians in comparison with the worthlessness of their former condition. Newness of life is used by Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, and Kittle references that. He says, Paul does in Romans 6, 4, "We have been buried together with him through the baptism of the Holy Spirit into his death." That's retroactive positional truth. Why? In order that as Christ has historically been resurrected from deaths through the glory of the Father, so we might have the option to walk in newness of life. When you be you're a new spiritual species. You have all of these assets available to you that you did not have before. With them, you can change your entire life. You can walk in newness of life, but it is an option. It means that you have to take advantage of the two power options. You have to develop the three spiritual skills. You have to learn and then execute the problem-solving devices. And you have to grow in grace and advance the level of spiritual adulthood in three categories, thus fulfilling the four mechanics of the sophisticated spiritual life. That's newness of life. And you have the option to do that. And only those who are new spiritual species have that option. No other people have it. They can't grow in grace. They can't receive the power of the Holy Spirit. They can't learn the Word of God, especially its mystery doctrines. They certainly cannot apply it because they can't metabolize the problem-solving devices. They can never advance to the level of spiritual adulthood. It is impossible for the old species to do this. They're different. They're handicapped. They deserve government aid. They don't have the assets. And you want to know what a real handicap is? You know who really deserves all those parking places? Unbelievers. No one's more handicapped than an unbeliever. Newness of life is an option, but only to the ones who are a new spiritual species. Only to those who have the assets. And we can go to the analytical Greek lexicon published by Zondervan and see that kainos is defined there in its application of 2 Corinthians 5:17 as new in species. Species means something entirely different. Darwin likes to come up with the idea that all these various little critters can get together with each other over a period of a skillion years and come up with some new creatures. And it ain't happening. The only way you get a new creature is through an act of God. And God transforms you into an entirely new spiritual species at the moment of your salvation. And Darwin needs to know that, and those who follow him. God creates species. And the idea that animal procreation can do it, to me, is silly. It's silliness. And we are believing more silliness in this country than you can possibly imagine. We are silly people. In the Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words by Vines identifies kainos as something that is new but not new in time. New in form or quality is the idea. A different nature from what is contrasted to that which is old. In other words, it's entirely new and different. And you're walking around in the same old body. The same old body that in every cell has programmed in the DNA, the old sin nature. But spiritually, a lot has changed. In fact, it's an entirely different deal. So point eight, that which is new is said to be the creature. Croesus, and it too needs definition. I want to go down to a certain spot where we'll stop this morning, but let me get there. Let me first of all give you a couple of translations of croesus, which is translated in your Bibles, I believe, creature. This is an expository dictionary of New Testament words. Under creature, it says in Scripture to create. Always the act of God. When this word is used, it means always an act of God. It is never used for anything man creates. Do you get that? Anytime "creasis" is used in Scripture, it is used to describe an act of God. And this has to do whether it's a natural creation or a spiritual creation. How about the creation of the universe? In the Greek would be "creasis." It goes all the way back to the beginning. Bereshith bara Elohim. God created bara out of nothing, the entire universe. "Creasis" is the same idea in the Greek. That's natural creation. How about spiritual creation? 2 Corinthians 5:17. And in that verse, the reference is to what the believer is in Christ, baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're a new spiritual species because you've been baptized into the resurrected Christ. So in consequence of the creative act, he has become a new creature. Colin Brown in the New International Dictionary of New Testament Theology, where a person belongs to Christ, new creation is a fact. Former things which hitherto determined his life have passed away. And we saw that in our verse back over here about things passing away. Remember that? If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. And he says it right here. Former things which hitherto determined his life have passed away. In Christ, the old privileges which men used to erect barriers between themselves, for example, circumcision or uncircumcision, these are no longer valid. These are human ideas and they involve the body. Only belonging to Him counts. Only being in Christ validates the new creation. The past, therefore, has been canceled by the cross. And that's for those of you who have second marriages or you have a divorce that you didn't think was handled properly. Listen to this. If all of that occurred before you were saved, the past has been canceled by the cross. Point 9. Creasis thus refers to a creative act of God. God did this for you. It is total grace. There's nothing you could have done anyhow. Some of us robbed banks before we were saved. You got involved in a bad marriage. Some of us gossiped before we were saved. You got involved in a bad marriage. Some of us, and you fill in the blank. But see, all of it's sin. And what was nailed to the cross, your prom chip printout, whatever was there. The past has been canceled by the cross. And you have been created. There's a new creation, and you're it. It's a creative act of God. In the hostile environment of the devil's world, you are instantly changed into a new spiritual species by means of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, because of the fact you're a new spiritual species, you have new characteristics, new qualities, and new assets. And on Tuesday evening, I will give you 12 of those that define the fact that you're different, that define the fact that you have new qualities, that your definition of who and what you are spiritually is entirely different than what it was before you were a believer. And so we'll see these characteristics, qualities, and assets on Tuesday evening. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for the fact that you have been so gracious to us. No matter what we've done, what we get into, what we get out of, can't get out of, those things that we think, our guilt trips, our depression, all of the things that bother us from outside adversities that become internal stress. It's very comforting for us to pause and think for a moment that it was all nailed to the cross. All has been forgiven and forgotten by you at the moment of salvation. And any stumblings that occur after our so great salvation may be handled through confession to you alone. And so grace enables us to get our eyes off of our own failures and focus on our duty before you. Motivate us to continue to pursue truth. That's our objective. Our failures are not. Christ took care of those. Our objective is to learn doctrine and to learn how to change the way we think. And when we do, we therefore have the privilege of representing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the hostile environment of the devil's world. Motivate us by these things as we lift our prayers in Christ's name. Charis human kai arene, plethun thae in epinosai tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Guide me, O thy great Jehovah. Shall we stand as we sing?